Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Today I'm going to start a three-part series on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Today, of course, we're going to start with the Father. But before we begin, let us all pray together. Glory to Jesus Christ, we thank you for this awesome day. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that those out there that need to hear your word and understand you, Lord, will have ears to hear with, and let their souls let them hear, Lord. For Lord, they need you more than ever. They need your spirit in you. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for a revival to happen within the United States and all nations, or a Holy Spirit revival to come, so people will understand that you are Lord, you are Savior, and you've come to bring us home. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for the victims in Texas and the victims in Florida with the hurricane that has happened to them. Puerto Rico, who right now have no light, and they can't contact their family on the mainland in the United States or around the world. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for the people of Mexico City. We pray that, Lord, comfort those who lost loved ones. We pray for those who are injured. We pray for their healing, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to someone, our Lord God, and in their opinion, they believe God is arrogant. They believe this because they believe that God made things so everyone would bow down and worship him, and only listen to him. And he said that was very arrogant and couldn't understand, basically, how can we follow a God like that who says, you must follow me or you're going to hell. Now, our Father in heaven, let me just say this, is the Father. What do I mean by that? What I mean is just that. He has always been here. Anything he creates, it's not about I'm making things so people will bow down and worship me. It means that he's the head of the table. And as the head of the table, he knows what he's doing. He is the parent. And as a parent, he tells us how to live our lives. And the Lord understands when he sees people stray away from him, what can happen to him. Right? So, I want to read a few things in Genesis, because I think it's very important that we study a little bit of this in Genesis about God the Father. Because it is trying to say how this person is telling me how God is arrogant. You must worship me or you're going to hell. Doesn't sound like the God I read in the Bible. Okay? Let's see. Let's begin with Genesis. Again with chapter 2. Alright? Thus, the heavens and earth and all their array were completed. On the seventh day, God completed the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day for all the work he undertook. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested for all the work he had done in creation. This is the story of the heaven. God made the earth and the heaven. There was no field shrub on earth, and no grass on the field had been sprouted. For the Lord had sent no rain upon the earth, and there was no need, and there was no man, till the ground, but a stream was welling up out of the earth and watering all the surfaces of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man out of dust on the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed out of the ground. The Lord made grow every tree that was delightful to look at, good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river arises in Eden to water the garden beyond their divide and begins four branches. The name of the first man, Pijon, it is I'm sorry, I read something wrong here. I need to pair new glasses, don't I? The name of the first is the Pijon. He's talking about the plant life here. I'm sorry. It is one that winds through the whole land of Helabab, where there is gold. The gold on that land is good. The Belgium that lives and there. The name of the second river is Gola. It is one that winds all through the land of Cush. The name of the first river is the Tigris. It is the one that flows east of Usher. The fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord took the man and settled him in the garden to care for it. The Lord gave the man this order: you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, except the tree of good and evil. From the tree you shall not eat. When you eat from it, you shall die. The Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. So the Lord formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man. The sea called them. Whatever the man called each living creature was then its name. The man gave name to all tame animals, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none provided to be a helper suited to the man. So the Lord cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed it up in its place with flesh. The Lord God then built the rib that he had taken from the man into a woman. When he brought her to the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one should be called woman, for out of man this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one. The man and his wife were both naked, felt not ashamed. You see right there, it didn't seem to me Adam was afraid of the Lord at all, did it to him? He didn't say, I am your God, you must bow down and worship me. Let's bring up all the candlelights, and let's bring all the funky music, and let's bring all the incense, and now worship me, man, worship me. He didn't say that at all. But it seemed to me what Adam had with the Father in heaven was a father and son relationship. And that was that's what it was. What did he give Adam? He gave basically Adam control of the earth, did he not now? He made Adam the leader of the garden, leader of the earth. He was able to name all the animals. God gave him that luxury. And God giving his own son upon the earth all these gifts, what did he do next? He gave him a companion that was made out of his flesh, a woman. Now, I know many of the feminists out there say, well, what is it? They're kind of angry about that and say, oh, how can he have to give him the gift of a woman? Well, the fact of it is, he gave the woman as a companion. Not to be a dictator with, but she was supposed to be his partner. Am I correct? Because they're supposed to be one, right? What did it say there? Let's see. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one body. So they become one body, right? A man and his wife become one body. They are one, together, in their family union, you could say. You can see how God gives his child a gift. And I'm saying Adam was his child because until it happened at Pentecost when the apostles and later on other Christians, even to this day, received the Holy Spirit, Adam was the first one when he came to life was to feel God's Holy Spirit living within him as well. God's Holy Spirit was living within Adam as well as his own spirit living there. Okay? We know there was a big cutoff after Adam fell, but the spirit was not living in man. But once you accept Christ as your Savior, you get that spirit. What happens is you get the same Holy Spirit that was in Adam into you then. All right? Well, therefore you have the Holy Spirit living within you and living within me. And this time in Adam's life, he was living within Adam. And we know in Genesis, it talks about Adam and God walking in the garden together, talking to one another. Imagine that. So Adam, he was being taught by his father how to live. And Adam was not a naive man. And the reason why I say that is because there are things God told him, and he had to teach Adam what it was. Because when he told Adam about the forbidden tree was not supposed to eat or he would surely die, you know God must have taught him what death was. Otherwise, if he told him that, and Adam had no clue about what he's talking about, what is death, then the tree would not be so much of a temptation, and God could not have very well had been mad at Adam for eating from the tree of life when he eventually did, because Adam would not have known what it was. He would have been ignorant about it. But Adam was not ignorant. We should not think of Adam nor his wife Eve as ignorant people because they walk with God. They have the God's Holy Spirit living within them. And let me say this, my friends. We have no idea how long Adam was in that garden. Adam could have traveled around the world if he wanted to because the earth was his, was it not now? Yes, it was. And why I say this is because I would say, like Jesus, when he rose from the dead and he showed up to his followers and he would suddenly appear or disappear, I believe Adam had that same power to do so. He could go anywhere around the world if he wanted to by appearing and then going back to the, sorry about that, and going back to the garden. He can do this because saying what's his, because God has given the world to him. You see what I mean? That's what God gave to him, the world, and it was his, to live on as he pleased. and things he did upon the earth, it pleased God. We have no idea how long Adam was there after he named the animals, before he fell from grace. We don't know how long it was until Eve came to him, and I'm sure they lived a pretty long life as well. But think about this. When they have this debate about the dinosaurs living this so many years, millions of years ago compared with man, it could have been, but you have to think about this. Adam may have seen the dinosaurs. Why am I saying that for? Because as I said, we have no idea how long he lived in that garden until he fell, until he put himself in a time limit of his death. And the reason why I say that is because scientists have so far have found how long a man has lived through studying the bone. Recently, it was a new figure that man was a lot older than he was. But if Adam had lived a very long life, just say, what they say, the dinosaurs came a million years ago, well, Adam might have, the time, when Adam's time of living upon this earth may have came, might have been the day when he fell from the garden, which Adam could have been living upon the earth a million or a billion years until that day he bit into the fruit and his time came along. Now, I know some people may say, well, wait a minute, Mr. Hare, because it says in the Bible about how long Adam lived. That is true, but what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to get into a theological debate, but what it could have been that the time of Adam living upon this earth probably came is when he bit into the fruit, not when he was created. Because when he was created, he was meant to live forever. Time had no meaning for him. He was living on heaven on earth. And if you're living in heaven on earth, there is no time limit on you. Because heaven and earth was sort of like, at that time, coinciding with one another, where in heaven, there is no timeline up there. It's eternity. Because this time in earth's history, earth was eternal. So Adam had no time about how long he lived upon the earth because he was eternal at that time because his body was not made to die until he sinned. All right? Again, when we see God being the Father, what I mean is, two, that God has passed this idea of parenting to the human generation from generation to generation to the just and unjust. What do I mean by that? Because God is the parent of all creation, even the animals. He's created everything. But if you ever notice, even among wildlife, when wildlife creatures give birth, either the wild animal's mother either takes care of the children they have, or sometimes animals become companions, as some animals do, and they both take care of the children together. Mankind does the same thing. Who pulls children into us? The Lord God, who is our Father, because He is the head of the table. But with His children procreating upon the earth, they're following in His footsteps about who is the head of the family? Well, the parents are. Are they not male? You got a father and you have a mother, right? And both together work as one to raise their children. And they instill values they believe they need to know. And that's exactly what God was doing with Adam. He was instilling what he knew onto Adam. And he didn't want Adam to know sin. Adam to be perfect, because God knew if the day Adam would know sin, he would be miserable. He would see things that he he would know that if he hadn't sinned, it would never have happened. Think about it. In Adam's life, one of his sons, murdered another. Think about it, my friends. What must have been going through Adam's mind when that happened? He probably thought, if I just would have stayed with the Lord, if I hadn't bitten into that fruit that my Father in heaven told me not to, my Father told me not to, if I listened to my Father, my own son would not have been dead. My other son would not be a murderer and a vagabond upon the earth. Now, we know what happens when Adam and Eve fell. What was the first thing they did? Let's go back a little further than that, my friend, though. Let's read chapter 3 for a moment, because you can identify what God must have been going through with your own kid. Because with your own kid, there's always someone who's a tempter to your own kids. Because with little kids, when you raise your kids, right, they listen to you. They don't question your authority. Everything you tell them to do, they listen to until they reach puberty. Then they begin questioning you. And sometimes there's always someone out there to tickle their ears, to tell them to rebel. Let me give you a point. Now, the snake was the most cunning of all of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He asked the woman, "Did you really say you shall not eat from the..." Let me read that again. "Did God really say you shall not eat from the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the snake, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but it's only about the fruit of the tree in the middle in the garden that God said, you shall not eat or even touch it, or else you will die." So the snake said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. God knows well that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, who know good, evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, and the tree was desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then it said the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed their fig trees together and made loincloths for themselves. And you see, you who have children understand, you may have even done it yourself. As children, you listen to your parents. And when you became parents, your children listen to you. Then when your child becomes a teenager, you know there's many influences on your children. Peer pressure, another thing. You warned your kid, don't drive drunk. Don't take drugs. Don't have sex until you're married. And what happens? They don't listen to you, because when they start doing little things you tell them not to do, they feel like, well, I got away with it this time. I'll do it again. And I'm not going to hell. I don't feel myself dying. God started checking me with a bolt of lightning, so I'm not going to hell, so I'm going to keep on doing it. Well, what usually happens when you drink too much liquor? A lot of things could happen. You can get into a car accident, and you may kill somebody, or you may die yourself. Or you may get addicted to alcohol. Same thing with taking drugs. Or if you have sex out of wedlock, what could happen? You, who are a man, may get your girlfriend pregnant, and you, who are the girl, may get pregnant, right? And there's also diseases when people have too many sex with people. You may get some kind of disease you might not want. BD, herpes, among other things. You may even get HIV if you're not watching out. And usually you don't wise up until it happens. And that is a rebellion right there, is it not now? Because your parents told you not to do it, you did it. And you can see the human quality that Adam and Eve started for the human race when they decided they were going to be like gods themselves. In fact, what Satan through the snake was telling them, join my rebellion. Rebel against the Father. Rebel against him and be God yourself. Take his kingdom from him. They were telling him. He was telling them. Because eating of that fruit, when you think about it, was a rebellion against God. Because their hearts are thinking, we'll be white of God. We'll be God ourselves. We'll have God's throne. The same thing Satan thought when he tried his rebellion in heaven. But what did Adam and Eve do when they realized it was sinning? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit left them. And I think that's when they realized and noticed their own flesh. They saw that they were naked. And what happens afterwards? Verse 8, when they heard the sound of the Lord walking about in the garden at the breezy time of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees. The Lord called that to the man and asked, where are you? Think about that in your own spiritual walk with God, my friend. Where are you? Do you feel yourself wandering away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are you? And that's what basically God was asking them. That's why God came to the garden after this happened, because he felt a spiritual connection cut off because of Adam's sin. Adam became a man in sin that day, and he felt a connection, and he came down walking like, where are you? And what do you do when your own kids, when you tell them to come home at a certain time, and they come home at 4 in the morning, and you told them to come home at 10, and you're worried about them all night? The first thing they do when they come to the door, where were you? And that's basically what God is asking, where are you? Are you? Where are you, son? How are you, son? Where are you in your walk? Where are you? And that's when you ask your own children, where are you? Where are you? Sad thing that Adam did right over here. He answered, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And many of you as parents who have raised teenagers, things you may have even done yourself a long time ago when your parents asked you where you were. And what did you do? You lied to them about it. You might have said the car, you was with your friends and your car broke down. Or you fell asleep where you was at some party. And you just now, and you woke up and you came home late. Liar. The first human liar upon the earth. Because what did he do? He lied. Then God asked, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I have forbidden you to eat? And many of you who are parents, usually you know the answer to you when your kid is lying. You don't debate with them. You go ahead and say what they probably had done. And the man replied, the woman you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, so I ate it. And then when you tell them your children to their face what they did, what do they usually do? Pass the blame to somebody else, do they not now? Well, Adam was the first human being who did that. He blamed Eve in hopes that he wouldn't get a punishment from God, that Eve would be punished for what she did, since she did eat the fruit first. Now, was it wrong for him to blame Eve? Sure it was, because being that he was created first, he knew better. But yet, like Eve, he followed his own desire. He wanted to be like God himself. And so, he was willing to throw her under the bus, were they not now? And let her take full punishment for his own actions as well. He could have rebuked Satan by protecting his wife. He should have said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of God, in the name of my Father. Satan was a friend. Just think, if he would have done that for Eve and rebuked Satan right there, we probably would be living in a different world this day. But it didn't happen that way, did it? Did not happen that way. Because Adam followed his own desire. He and Eve wanted to be gods. And they took that gamble, thinking that they would be powerful than their own father. This was a rebellion against the Father in heaven. And in your own home, you might have even felt rebellion within your own family when your child decides you're wrong and decides that they're not going to listen to you no more. And they turn away from you. Someone whispering in their ear, telling them, so don't listen to your parents. You're old enough now. Do your own thing. And that's what happens. And that's what happens with many young people or teenagers and even some young adults who fall away and go with the ways of the world. Follow someone who whispers in their ear that they know better. Don't listen to your parents. Listen to me. Don't follow God. Listen to the world. Take the drugs, drink the drinks, have immoral sex, anyone you want to go out there. Well, when you do all that, eventually all that sinning catches up with you and you feel miserable. Ask any drug addict when they began their drug addiction. The first time, they loved getting high. But then all of a sudden, what happened to them? They became so addicted, they didn't care nothing about life. Only thing they wanted to have is that high. And they became slaves to that drug or to the alcohol. And they don't care what happened to their family or for themselves. The only thing they want is the high. Sure, some could say that, why did God put that tree in the garden in the first place? Why couldn't they? We shouldn't be judging God whatsoever. God already told them why they shouldn't eat of a fruit. We have all other things out there we know not to eat. There's some foods out there or turn out to be not really foods. Because there are certain mushrooms out there and certain trees out there. If we eat them, they could kill us because they're poison. And we know this, so we shouldn't be blaming God for having these out there, because the fact of it is, we have to have the common sense to know not to eat them. Or we know that drugs come from some place as part of the earth. Do we not now? But we know not to take them because we know it eventually ruin our body by making us addicted. Right? Correct. So we know not to do all that. So the fact of it is, God didn't make things like this to destroy us. And the tree of life was not there for God to tempt Adam with. It was there that God wanted him to take it. And the only thing Adam had to do is not eat from it. Because that fruit was going to kill him spiritually because it was his rebellion of not listening. And God did not want him to live a life in sin. He didn't want him to go through that. And you as parents, you try so hard at times to help your kids You know what your kid's going through with hard times. You yourself may have gone through. You know how it is if you were addicted to alcohol at one time or drugs. You don't want your children to be addicted as you were because you know how miserable it made you. And you want your kids to listen to your advice, your wisdom that you can give them. And that's exactly what God wanted for his children. No, God did not ever sin, but he knew what sin did. He saw Lucifer, who became Satan, rebel against him. Satan, did you know this? Before he had his name changed by the Lord, that he used to praise God himself, used to love God. He did things that were, he used to do things that were pleasing to God until he rebelled. And he saw a change in this beautiful angel into an ugly, demonic thing. And those angels, other angels, followed him, became ugly, demonic beasts. Ugly in the process of being sinful. Visually, they may look pretty good, but technically they are not, because they're evil, they tell lies, and they want to destroy your life or anything that is of God. And that is the war that's still happening today in the spiritual walk that we go through. Because Satan is always trying to drag people down, trying to get people to forget who the Father in heaven is. He's even trying to get you who walk with God right now, who has the Holy Spirit living within you, to fall away with these little things he may put in the air and say, did God really say this? Did God really say that? Did God really say this? If you are following God, why are you having these problems in your life? But my friends, we live in a world that Adam allowed it to happen. Not God, Adam. Adam chose to follow sin and allow Satan and his demons to take refuge here to cause trouble. Now, I'm not saying everything that man does is from the devil. I would say, sort of like with Adam and Eve, Satan tempted them to eat the fruit, but it was their choice to eat it or not. So a lot of man's decisions, in his own decisions by himself, and his own sins are upon his head. And it is a rebellion. Think about that, my friend. It is a rebellion. Right? It sure is. Oh, boy, it is. But you don't want to, but that's why the Lord was trying to lead Adam not to sin him, because he knew that like his angels in heaven, they would do that. And they did. So here he says, so what does the Lord do? Does he thrash Adam down and kill him? No. Because Adam's already committed himself to death physically, did he not now? He also spiritually hurt himself because he and the Lord were no longer connected spiritually. But God asked the woman, who told you you were naked? But God asked the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman answered, the snake tricked me, so I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the snake, because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals, tame and all the wild. Your belly you shall crawl, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. They will strike your head, and while you shall strike their heel. To the woman he said, I will intensify your toil and childbearing, and pain you shall bring children. Yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. To the man he said, because you listened to your wife, that ate from the tree, which I commanded you, you shall not eat from. Curses the ground because of you, and the toil you shall eat as it yields all day of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bear for you, and you shall eat the grass of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground from which you were taken, from where you were dust. and dust you shall return. The man gave his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord made for a man and the wife from his skin, which he clothed them. But the Lord said, the man has become like one of us, knowing good from evil. Now, what if he also reaches out his hand and takes fruit from the tree of life, and eats of the life, eats and lives forever? The Lord God therefore banished him from the garden and killed the ground from it which he had taken. He expelled the man, stationing a cherubim and a fiery revolving sword cast the garden to the guard the way of the tree of life. You see, he knew Adam could actually could be very, at this time, he saw a different Adam, did he not now? The Adam before was respectful to his Lord, never cursed up in those days, never tried to get his kingdom away. He was a different Adam. He saw Adam change right before his eyes by eating of the fruit he had eaten and hiding from him. Then, lying to him, putting the blame on his wife. And he knew if he kept him in the garden, things would just get worse. Things would just get worse. Now, I know we didn't talk about children they had in the garden. Could have been they had children in the garden, but Eve may not have had pain at that time. But because of what they did may have caused their children that they had before pre-garden to sin as well. That's all I'm saying. Because how would Eve know anything about childbirth is what I'm talking about. So that's a theological question. I'm not getting into the theological question because, in my opinion, I don't think the Lord God wants us to be arguing about theological questions. Our job is to be out there, to go out there and search for lost souls and tell them the truth about our Heavenly Father and bring them home to Him so He may have fellowship with Him. We also should be praying for one another as a body of Christ to make sure none of us falls away spiritually from our Lord. Because when we see a fellow Christian turn away from the Lord God and spiritually separated from the Lord God, we know they're having an Adam experience, because that's exactly what happened to Adam. He was spiritually connected with the Lord, but then the Holy Spirit had to leave him because he sinned. He sinned. So the Holy Spirit was in us. Pray for one another and not let loose the precious Holy Spirit that we have within us. And we see God counseling Himself when He talks to, when He says in the Scripture, He's become one of us. Meaning, He was talking to the Son and the Holy Ghost Himself, all three. Because He didn't want them to know anything about evil, did He not now? Because evil meant there was no sin. He was protecting them. Like any father would do for his own child, every mother would do for their own child. They would want to be the one teaching them the right way and making sure no evil from the world will ever hurt them. A parent will only defend their child from anything that the world may throw at them. So, my friend, our God, reason why we honor Him is because He is the first Father. And being that He is a Father, we show Him respect. We know of this because what does God put in the Ten Commandments? One of the six commandments He wants you and I to follow. Honor your mother and father. Because He created that system. Because He wanted us to honor Him. And when we had children, He wants our children to honor us. As we should honor our own parents when they need us. Right? Because God has that patriarchal order. What we should do and who we should honor. And that's for someone might be saying, well, how can we have to sing praises to God? Or why do you sing praises to your loved one? When you sing an old spiritual, you're talking about grandma's chair or granddaddy's song or the Randy Travis song about his grandfather. I thought he walked on water. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Why do people sing love songs? Or why do couples even have a song and listen to on the radio and say, this is our song? Because they love one another and this is how they express it. And why we sing hymns to the Lord our God is because we love our God. Our hymn singing is our love song to our Father. If we could sing love songs to your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your children, dead relatives, live relatives, if you could sing to them, why not sing to the one who gave us life, the first father, our father? And let me tell you this, my friends, too. This is for the just and the unjust, those who do not. But God instilled it in all of us, being that we are made in God's image. In ways, we are like our Father, are we not now? When our children do wrong, we send out a punishment to them. Do we not now? Right? And why is the punishment there for? Is it meant to be permanent? No, because the punishment is there for to teach the kid a lesson so they won't do it again, correct? The reason why Christ died upon the cross is because before that, sin was so terrible upon the earth that even a sin offering, a year's sin offering, could not clearly fix the whole thing of salvation. But through Christ, we know the punishment is forgiven because we don't have that sin in our life anymore. But we have the Holy Spirit within us that everything is gone. And we learned our lesson because what is repentance in the first place? Repentance is we do not do it again. And see, when we punish it upon our own kids, it means we in hopes that once they receive their punishment, they won't do it again, right? We want basically what we want from them is repentance. Is that am I correct? And that's basically what it is to walk with the Lord, is that when we repent of our sins, we don't go back and do it again, because true repentance means we are now living the way our Father wants us to live, and we do not do that same old thing that made ourselves miserable, other people miserable, and now we are free from that because our Father, for so long, wanted us back. He paid that price for you and I so we could have the repentance of true repentance of sin through his death and resurrection. And that's exactly what he did. So you and I are now free from that and showing true repentance. So if you do that with your own kids and you want your own kids to have true repentance, that's what you do. And many of you out there would die for your own children. You would die for your own grandchildren, I might say. Because you love them so much. If someone was holding a gun to their head, and if it meant taking your life, instead of theirs, you would take it. Well, what do you think Christ Jesus did? He took his own. God was willing to become a man to let the world system take his life, so repentance could be at hand. Because remember, Adam handed the keys of what was happening upon the earth to the devil. They had to take Christ dying upon the cross and taking man's sins away to get it back from him. That's why Paul refers to him as the last Adam, because he did anything that was pleasing to God. He showed what you should be, how you should live according to the ways of the Lord. And he paid the price. He was willing to die for you. God became a man to die for you because you are his child. You should think about this. Yes, I would die for my child. I would not let my child die in death. I would not let my child be arrested. I would die for them before I let them die a COVID death or be thrown in jail. I would die for them. I would fight to the death for my own child. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He went to the cross to die for us because he loved us so much. He was willing to pay the price to die a death. His death was on his flesh. His death was on his spirit for a brief time when he took all the sins from the earth upon himself. He was separated from really himself, the Godhead. And he was separated from himself for the first time in his life. On those 3 days, he was separated until he rose from the grave and he was reunited with the Father in heaven. And that's exactly what we would do for our own children. God was willing to do for you and I. Amen to that. Because through him, he loved us so much, we are saved. And we are now reestablished with our Lord God. No more are we separated from the Lord God no more. And that's how we would do with our children. Everything, if you look at it, everything we do is for the Lord and the God. Let's think about this too. Just and unjust, believers and non-believers. Works, because God gave man the ability to make things upon this earth. We're able to create things upon this earth. Not as God would. I'm just saying we're using material that God gave us to make build things. Advanced civilization. Doing that now. Yes, I am correct about that. Because God gave us an ability. And those who may say that they don't believe in the Lord, well, you have a little bit of your father in you because your father has made you, has given you the gift to create things, make things, build things. Right? Even in the song, I would say, our Lord is a great singer. And he gave us the ability to sing songs, make instruments, everything. Those from the just and the unjust. And just think about this, how merciful our Heavenly Father is to the just and the unjust. We eat his food, we breathe his air, we drink his water, right? So I would say our God is a very merciful God to the just and the unjust. So our Father in heaven is still out there. He hasn't forgotten about us, and he's still in control. You and I are out there. Why we preach the gospel is to go out there and bring people to the truth so they come home to their Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be talking about when we continue our lesson. Father, today, next time, we're going to be talking about the Son. And then after that, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, I pray that all of you got something out of this lesson today. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives. May you feel his presence, the Holy Spirit live within you. And remember, our Heavenly Father paid a heavy price for you and I by becoming the man, Jesus of Nazareth. So you and I may live a fellowship with him upon the earth, later on in heaven, and then later on, when the resurrection of all human race comes, when he puts his kingdom officially upon this earth, and we see that every person will see Jesus physically upon the earth. We will be with him forever and ever, as he promised. So let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today, and we pray for all those out there. We pray for all those out there to come to you, follow you, worship you, Lord Jesus Christ, so they may have fellowship with you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, who reigns forever and ever. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'd like to wish you a good afternoon, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.